Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
High atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It is fantastic to have you along this Wednesday afternoon. We got the Warriors back at it tonight, Phoenix Suns. Let's just say, mathematically, chances are they catch a whooping. Same thing can be said for the Milwaukee Bucks when they get here on Friday, but we'll worry about that coming up on Friday. We're not going to worry about anything that's coming up in the NFL. We're going to take one last look back at Week 14 with our good buddy Trey Wingo, who joins us on Wednesdays, making it a Wingo Wednesday once again, and it's good to have you here, Trey. What an interesting weekend the Bay Area football fan got to watch for two totally different reasons. We saw the Raiders pull out a game they had no business winning, and I think we saw the Browns pretty much hammer the coffin shut on the 49ers 2015 season. That was an embarrassing performance in Cleveland. It's great to have you back on, and let's not bury the lead. Your Christmas sweater and your new avatar is phenomenally horrific.
It's so bad, it's good. Yeah, that was from a Best Buy shoot a couple of years ago, and the guy that was there with me sent it to me. I'm like, yeah, that probably works for the holiday season. So we decided to throw that one up there.
Certainly does. Look, I mean, the Raiders pretty much got their Christmas come early, because I haven't seen a game that was, you know, fitting the description of a tale of two halves quite like that one in a really, really long time. They had no business beating the Denver Broncos, and then thanks to Khalil Mack, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, you know, I got to give the Raiders a lot of credit, because they could have been buried early in that game. At the half, I believe they had, negative 11 yards? I think that's what it was. And they kept the Broncos out of the end zone, which, by the way, we should point out, everybody, you know, happy about the Brockweiler and the Bossweiler and Brocky Top and all that stuff. Since he took over running the Broncos offense, they have three and outs on 50% of their drives, by far the highest in the NFL. So it's a problem that Denver's going to have to deal with. But Khalil Mack, as I said on Twitter, Khalil Mack could have been arrested for what he was doing to the offensive line of the Denver Broncos. I'm pretty sure that's a crime in all 50 states. Because it was just abuse. It was abuse, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. He did whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, however he wanted to do it. It was a joy to watch.
It really was. As dominant a defensive performance as we've seen pretty much from any defensive player over the last 20 years. It does not get better than that. And I think we can almost leave it at that. Getting back to Brock, is there a chance that the realities of him not being exactly the most ready to go, no problems, everything has been answered thanks to his play, does this open the window for Peyton Manning once again?
I think Peyton Manning plays next week. I really do. I think he comes back for the final two games of the regular season. Both of those are home games. Now, that being said, if Peyton had played against the Raiders, he might have died, okay? At least Brock could get out of the way or fall down. You know, that offensive line for the Broncos was so bad. But here's the other thing. I mean, you watch that game. Virgil Green was wide open at the end of the first half. Oh. And all Brock had to do was arm punt it to him, and he couldn't do it. And that changed the entire game. Because if you go up 16-0, psychologically it's different. It's two scores with two extra points, or really, if you think about it, three scores. So the fact that it was 12-0 and they got a touchdown to make it 12-7 changed the game completely. And look, Emmanuel Sanders muffed a punt. Demaryius Thomas dropped a huge third down. Vernon Davis, my God, what did he do on that fourth down play? He didn't get much help. But the shine is off the Brockweiler if you look at the numbers. I mean, he only scored 17 the previous week. They only scored, what, 17 or 19 in the road win in Chicago. The most complete game was, of all of things, of course, the game against the Patriots. There are some real concerns there, and I think they'll be happy to have Peyton Manning back. But the bigger issue, Damon, might be this offense that Gary Kubiak wants to run is simply not working with the personnel they have. And that's the bigger issue Denver's got to deal with.
Trey Wingo from ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And today, I believe we saw a coach turn on another coach in a way we normally don't. You know, a lot of these guys are rivals and they are all trying to beat each other. But you don't hear like the knife get plunged into the back after a victory very often. And what Mike Pettine did today, basically, with the Cleveland Browns, saying that, you know, hey, we were ready to play the Niners, and we did not get the sense from them. It just goes on to confirm all the in-locker room finger-pointing that the Niners, well, at least publicly, are trying to pretend didn't happen. It did. That team was a disaster in Cleveland. They had 18 sacks coming into the game, and you let them get 9 on you. Shame.
Yeah, that's not what you're looking for. And quite frankly, yeah, for Mike Pettine to say that, he should just stop talking, because nobody has any room to talk smack about anybody than Mike Pettine. Look, Mike Pettine's a fine defensive coordinator, and I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. But give me a break. I mean, let's all be clear about Mike Pettine as the head coach of the Browns. He was option 4,312 for them. If he was option number one, they could have hired him the day after the season ended last year, and they waited until well into January. Why? Because no one else would take the job. And Mike Pettine's probably not going to be back there next year. So, yeah, were they prepared to play? Absolutely. Did it look like the 49ers weren't prepared? Absolutely. But, Mike, seriously, look at your record and move on.
By the way, Johnny Manziel, he's not perfect, has a long way to go. A lot he needs to still learn about the game. That guy plays football, though. That guy's just that's a football player. That's a quarterback. And if the Browns go away from him without him showing up, like, you know, in a body bag or, you know, like flammable level, intoxicated, embarrassing himself, or actually injured in the old fashioned happened on the field way, shame on them. Like, see what that guy's got.
Yeah, they have to. Although I think that what you talked about, like a body bag with the defenses that they've got to play the last three games of the regular season, that may happen. I mean, it's going to be a very tough task. Johnny played well, though. He played very well. He had one Whedon-esque moment when he rolled left and threw it right across the field and then proceeded to try and give himself a concussion with a Microsoft Surface tablet on the sidelines. But other than that, you're right. He did play pretty well, but you need more than one game or one stretch, because the offense they're asking him to run is very simplistic. It's really based on a lot of screens and a couple of home run shots, and that's not going to work long term. So if he can figure something out in the next three games, they'll have a look at it, but I really believe they've already decided they're moving on from Johnny Football, and they're probably going to draft another quarterback with a very high pick in 2015, which would mean, Damon, in 2012, they took a first-round pick on Brandon Whedon. In 2014, they took a first-round pick on a quarterback, and in 2016, they're probably going to do it again.
Oh, so Cleveland, it really is. Trey Wingo.
That's so Cleveland, you're right.
It really is. Have you ever hosted a segment, a conversation, that was so good that you almost wanted to stop and celebrate how great this whole thing was going before it was even over, sort of like the Panthers did, taking pictures on the sideline before the game that goes final? I mean, forget about dabbing. That's the best thing they've done all year. You know, if the Super Bowl shuffle happened now, the Bears would be vilified. Anyone who is trying to throw salt on this Panthers team, shame on you. They're the most – nobody's having more fun on game day than them. They lead the NFL in game day fun.
You're absolutely right. And the Super Bowl shuffle, when I was a kid, and I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I got the single, I think, for the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yep.
And now people would be torching them on Twitter, because we all know Twitter is where faux outrage lasts for 3 hours, and then you wake up the next day and you forget what you were angry about, and you start to find something else to be angry about. I don't know that any. So I was actually on a radio station in Carolina earlier this week, and they said, "What's your biggest takeaway from the Panthers?" And it's exactly what you were saying. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody have more fun doing this. You know, the Patriots of 2007, it was all about the destination. It wasn't about the journey. It was a double you-know-what to the league after Spygate, and they were convinced they were going to do whatever they took, and they were angry, and they were mean, and they were focused. The Panthers are just having fun, man. They're enjoying it. And quite frankly, we all should be that way. It wasn't an insult to the Falcons. The Falcons were an insult to the Falcons. You have Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, and Matt Ryan, and you can't score? That's on you. That's not on them celebrating on the sidelines. They are a joy to watch. It is so much fun. And whatever they're doing, I hope they keep doing it because it's a blast.
Before we ask, and we won't even have time to really get into other teams, because I think I want to wrap up with what is a big issue and possibly a big moment for the NFL to get some things right here that are obviously wrong this season with its officiating. Trey, a story in the Washington Post says the NFL is discussing changes that could take effect in terms of how replay is used, whether it's centralized at a location like the NBA and the NHL do, back somewhere on Madison Avenue in New York, 42nd Avenue, wherever the league offices are. Dean Blandino needs to do something here because, once again, the theme of this season is your officiating's broken.
Yeah, and they've already released a statement today saying they're going to change a little bit of it for the postseason, which means that certain things in terms of like clock management or game procedures will be allowed to be reviewed with Dean Blandino and his party bus and whoever's on it in New York City. And they won't overrule calls. They won't call an official and say, hey, this was a foul. But, like, for example, you remember the clock on the Monday night game between the Steelers and the Chargers where they let it run for like 30 seconds
yeah.
after the kick out of the back of the end zone? That kind of stuff I think they're going to try and shore up. But you're right. I mean, at the winter meetings in Dallas, Roger Goodell said, we've always had problems with the officiating. It's just people are more interested in football now, and there's more ways to view it and consume it now and get out your frustrations on social media. I think it needs to be continually, you know, tweaked and upgraded. And more importantly, just common sense needs to fall into play here. If something's a catch, it's a catch. If something, you know, that's the other thing that's got to be figured out. Every week, one crew will look at one thing and say it's a catch or a fumble, and other people say it's not a catch or it's a touchdown. That's infuriating beyond belief, I think, for most players and fans.
And this, to me, is what centralizing replay could really do to help streamline some decision-making here because, hey, replay official Mike says this is a fumble. Replay official Dave, very similar play, same kind of camera angles in another city, doesn't think it's a fumble. I want some uniformity in these replay decisions because they're not all the same.
No, I mean, look, the Tyler Eifert non-touchdown week three for the Bengals against the Ravens, the Devontae Freeman ridiculous non-touchdown, I believe, against Washington for Atlanta, and then you have Golden Tate who held the ball for one nanosecond as he crossed the goal line before having it stripped out of his hands was called a touchdown. That's where it drives people crazy. That play with those other two plays cannot coexist without, as George Costanza said on Seinfeld, worlds colliding.
Are you done with your Christmas shopping?
Oh, dude, I finished like 3 weeks ago because we are in the process of moving, building a house. Which, by the way, let me just throw this advice. Damon, have you ever built a house?
A house of cards, maybe? That's about it. But
yeah.
No, I've not. I live in San Francisco. To build a house, I'm going to need to reinvent Facebook. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, let's just put it this way. Don't. I mean, the endless list of decisions you have to make are impossible. I didn't know you could pick the color of your grout. I mean, it's just, you know, where do you want the outlets? How many outlets do you want? Regular switches or dimmer switches? Literally, it's enough to make me want to go live in a van down by the river.
What color grout did you go with?
I don't know. I don't make those decisions. I pass it off to the boss of me.
Now, did you like you probably never even thought of, like, furnaces before. Did you pick out your own furnace?
Oh, tile, furnace, shower heads. Where do you want the towel holder? I don't know. I just want it to hold a flipping towel.
Yeah, somewhere that's easy to grab when I got soap in my eyes. Good luck to you and the building of the home. By the way, Gianna, maybe you can, you know, Dolan's Window Lumber. She's
yeah.
got a deal. Gianna is building a house.
We are. We're in the process of building a house here.
Listen, I was telling your producer how I love you and those 95.7 The Game. So come on, give me some love back with the windows and doors.
Dolan's, that's where you got to go. They're the best in town.
All right, Diana, 95.7 the game.
Thanks.
There you go. Look, impression is the greatest form of flattery.
It is. It is. I appreciate right that, Trey.
Trey, thanks an awful lot, man. We will catch up with you next week, unless you're on Christmas break next week. Or do we talk to you next week?
No, dude, if there's a day that ends in Y in a football season, I'm working.
All right, talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You guys.
Got to pay for those furnaces, you know.
No doubt. God, it is so much work building a house.
Oh,
it's worth it, though.
If
your marriage survives a renovation, a remodel, a rebuild, you were meant to be together.
Like you could survive an indecent proposal at this point in time.
Hands down.
Robert Redford.
That would be nothing.
It'd be nothing like getting a veranda built
compared to building a house.
There you go. That's great. That's great. So dealing with a contractor is the equivalent of, well, unless it's a Dolan's contractor.
Yeah, not all contractors are bad. We got very lucky with the Dolan's helping us with our windows and doors.
Nice. Nice windows. So, always good to hear from Trey Wingo. I tell you, centralizing replay to me does make a lot of sense. Think about it. Mike in Chicago thinks that's a fumble. Dave in Cincinnati doesn't. They're both replay officials. Who do you believe?
Yeah.
Maybe if Dave and Mike could talk to each other, because they're not in Chicago or in Cincinnati, but the two of them are sitting together in the same room in New York, maybe there's a little more streamlining in decisions across the board. The replay that you see in one game should be commensurate with the results that you get from a replay in the other game. There needs to be uniformity to this rule book. And there's anything but right now in the NFL. Steve Kerr could be back with the Golden State Warriors a little bit earlier than we're even preparing for. I mean, I don't know when I expect him back. They keep on telling us not to expect him back. But today, there is news that he's spending more time around the team and becoming a little bit more involved in game prep. Kerr plans to be more vocal and active on the practice floor over the next week or two. Still no timetable, though, for his return. Obviously, he's missed the first 25 games of the year. You know, it's funny. I feel like you can't give Luke Walton a compliment without, like, taking a debit. Like, I can't credit Luke without debiting Kerr. When really, that's crazy. Because here's the truth. Kerr did an amazing job. Luke Walton has done an amazing job. Whatever he isn't that Kerr is, it didn't matter. It hasn't mattered. He has helped this team stay focused. I think that we, by saying this team is coaching itself, have sort of disrespected what Luke Walton has done, what he has meant to this team. He's going to be a footnote in Warrior history. He should be more than that. He's done a tremendous job this season, weathering the storm and the pressure that came with this streak. And now Steve Kerr is, I think, going to pick the perfect time to come back. And it will, you know, how could this team get better? Hasn't even spent a day with its head coach yet. That's amazing. We talked about percentages, Gianna. You know, what were the updated percentages on winning big? Well, right now, according to the Basketball Power Index. The Warriors' chances of winning 70 games is 56.2%. 71 games, 42.3%. 72 games, 29.5%. 73 games, 17.9%. 74 games, 10%. Which means my 75-7 can't be too far away. If 74 is sitting at 10%. It's pretty amazing, though. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to watch what this team has done, how they've done it. To watch some people complain about it to me is comical. This has been so good for the organization, for the city, for fans, for Bay Area sports talk show hosts, sports talk show callers, sports update anchors. It's good for all of us. This has been, you know, what is it? A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
I the tide has never been higher on the Golden State Warriors, and I don't think anyone had. How about this? No one was more excited at the parade than they've been in the month of December. It's nuts. It's not even time to get excited about what your basketball team is doing yet. And this was the most exciting run of basketball I've ever seen in my life that wasn't directly related to an Indiana tournament run. And I'm a little...
And that's a lot to say.
And I'm a little biased when it comes to that. Damon, I think fans sitting at home should be able to vote on calls. There are enough NFL fans that the results should be objective. Plus... there could be an app for that. That's a good...
There's a way to make money.
Good call. Thank you very much. Good text. Let me say this, and I really mean this. You would, of course, have your... what category do I want to put this type of fan in? Let's put them in the least favorite word category I got. The straight-up hater category. You would have a certain percentage of fans that no matter what, would screw the Cowboys every chance they got, would screw the Raiders, the Niners every chance they got, would screw every bit. There's no way if we're reviewing a catch that happened in Green Bay in Chicago, Bears fans are going to be like, it's a catch. You know what, though? It's a small number. I truly believe that the most biased football fan out there would call it squarely.
Be objective.
I really think they would. I mean, I really, really think they would. I think fans, as ridiculous as we can all get, at some point a little reason kicks in and you think, all right, well, I want this moment officiated fairly because sometime the pendulum's going to swing back to me and I'm going to want that moment officiated fairly. Obviously, they'd never put it up for a vote, but if you think about it, I am convinced that fans voting at home with their phone... does this play stand? Press 1. Does this play not stand? Text 2 to, Zebra 225. And you can weigh in on this moment.
Maybe being part of the action might make them objective because they feel like they're actually deciding the outcome of a game. But those crazy fans,
right?
No way.
You would have the rotten apples ruining...
exactly.
The bushel. But I really believe most fans would take the responsibility... seriously, most people, when you give them responsibility, do the best they can with it. Now, maybe I'm just so naive, but there I am. There's my warm, fuzzy message that I still believe in humanity on today's show. There aren't many of them.
Not even
during the holiday season.
If you could do this with college hoops and it affected the outcome of Indiana in a Final Four. Would you really...
if it were up to me, okay, Final Four, now you're putting way too much on it. But if you were up, if it was like, hey, Damon, did they travel, yes or no? I'm going to tell you whether or not that guy traveled, no matter what uniform he's in.
Okay.
You know, I can be like, yeah, that's traveling. That's a travel. That's a double dribble.
The true sports fan in you speaking. Like the true lover of sports, I should say. Because if it's against the Hoosiers, that'll be a hard thing to say.
I would do it. Because that's the thing. Now, is there some guy who's went to Purdue that's going to be voting on me?
Right.
I want the game officiated the right way. Now, here's what I think is ridiculous. You ever watch one of those commercials that really isn't a commercial? It's like an ad for a website that brings you to like a conservative family web, like values.com.
Mm-hmm.
They always try to park it as like this. Here's a little homey message about helping an old lady across the street. Values.com. Then you go and you're like, oh, this is like a religious website. This is real, I've never gone, but that's what's waiting for you, I hear. One of the commercials for that is... during a basketball team, kids come back in the huddle, and after a call, he's like, look, the ref called that out on them. I touched it last, coach. And he goes and he tries to convince the official that the official got it wrong. Like, that's taking it a little too far.
That's pushing it.
Like, hey, if they get a call wrong, you don't need to correct it for
that's
them.
That's in your favor. But there is a definite lack of consistency with officiating in the NFL, and it's hurting the game.
it's, well, it, you know, it hurts the product, but we tune in mass, so the argument couldn't be made that we've been turned off from the product. We come back no matter what. We are the Tina Turner in this relationship. No matter how bad you abuse us, we'll be back. What's umping got to do with it? 888-957-9570. I'm dead serious. Let's ask it. Let's put it to the audience. If it were up to you to screw over your team by voting on the right call, would you do it for the integrity of the game? By the way, we're not asking Pete Rose this question. This is for all of you, because we know how Pete would vote. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
About to get out to the phones here in just a second. Damon, you're complaining about officials that know the rules and the interpretations of the rules, and now you're suggesting we open it to the public? Bad idea. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't convince me that NFL officials know the rules. They make too many mistakes for us to just say, yup, they got it. No problems there. I don't think the public would get it wrong. I think the public would get it right. The best thing I ever heard about the Tuck rule was when 100 people in a bar scream fumble, it's a fumble. 100 sports fans watching in a bar together screaming fumble are probably right.
Yeah.
I got a guy here saying, Damon, I suffered through the Tuck rule, and that was so painful. I would absolutely bring objectivity to it. Because I wouldn't want anyone to go through how I felt the night of the Tuck rule. So I would call it straight up. Damon, this topic sounds a little bit like the Roman Colosseum days. No officials. The fans just go thumbs up or thumbs down. And another guy's just being honest saying, Damon, I'd have zero objectivity in voting on calls. Hatred for the other fan base would override any thought of integrity I had, especially after a few beers.
Honestly, I think I would be that person.
What, the drunker you got?
I would be a little more
vindictive.
Vindictive,
you would get?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I could be as objective.
All right. So what have we found out tonight? We probably shouldn't let fans vote, and Gianna's a mean drunk.
I'm a nice drunk. But you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, you want your team to succeed.
Right.
Come on, you're not going to.
Well, how about this? Then how about everyone who gets a fan vote at home has to register under the guise of I'm fan of Team X and you cannot be involved in Team X's decisions.
Now, that's really fair. That's actually a very good idea, Damon.
You can't be involved in Team X's decisions. You can't be involved with, you cannot vote. I think I got it, even though this is total like crackhead pipe dream here. But you cannot vote for a team that you root for or is in the division. You can only vote for teams out of division. And there'll be enough people watching. Look.
So could you vote for teams that had playoff implications that would affect your team?
Look, here's the thing. I am now starting the conversation I say I usually reject. Like, that's too stupid. It'll never happen. We're wasting time.
But if it ever would, that would actually be a fair way to go about it for the most part. There'd have to be some more rules implemented just for it to make more sense. But that would be, I could get on board. I could do that.
Guy over here says, D. Bruce, you sound like the Dalai Lama tonight. Believe in humanity. Get out of here. Let's go to Matt. Matt says he's a first-time caller from Livermore. We'll be gentle, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good, Damon. It's really good to talk to you. I'm a big fan. I listen pretty much every day. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
So earlier you were talking about the Raiders and why can't they put together some sort of ownership group. So I kind of gave it a little bit of thought, and, you know, I've got basically three people that could probably help Mark Davis quite a bit.
Rattle
them
off.
Number one, Elon Musk of Tesla.
Yep.
You know, I could take the Hyperloop to the game. I live basically on the edge of the world over here on, what do they call it, the Altamont Pass. over here. I could be to the game in probably about, you know, 10 minutes at the most.
Just hyperloop yourself right to the game. I mean, yeah, okay. So Elon Musk, local billionaire, sure.
Yeah. And then you got the guy from Clorox that wants to help the A's build a stadium.
Right, right.
I know they've got that clogged toilet issue. I bet they'd have the cleanest toilets, you know, in the NFL.
Don Knauss could absolutely be the guy who cleans the pipes once and for all. Sure thing.
Right, and then call it P.F. Chang Stadium, and let's have great Chinese food throughout the stadium.
First of all, if you could have told that to Mark Davis, he would have had his new stadium by now. I mean, if he knew that that was an option. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, bring in P.F. Chang's, bring in Don Knauss, bring in Elon Musk, bring in Larry Ellison. Really, the problem is it's not any of those guys. It's Mark Davis. That's the problem. It's not bringing them in. It's him. It's the guy who's here. That's what's killing you, Raiders fans. I know you love the Davis family and the name and the Raider Nation and the tradition and all this stuff. He ain't helping. He ain't helping. He can't. Not only can he not secure, not only can Mark Davis not get his act together in the city of Oakland, which Oakland obviously is a dysfunctional municipality, doesn't help, doesn't make it easy. So you need someone who can solve a very complex problem. He's not the one. Not only can he not figure out a solution in his own town, he needs to piggyback on someone else's lifeboat in another town. And now everyone in the lifeboat is like,
do you think he really belongs in the lifeboat? Do you think we could paddle to profits faster without his dead weight in the lifeboat?
It's the truth. Not a lot of confidence in the Davis family to get things done. And there might still be just a little screw you, any and all Davises, in the oldest, crustiest corners of NFL ownership. Al's in Union City. What's going on, Al?
Hey, I understand, you know, the frustration with the NFL officiating. I completely agree with that. But putting that in the hands of the casual fan, we've seen what fans do when you give them that power. Some of the just ridiculous all-star teams that they vote in, and now you're going to put them in charge of real calls?
You know, this is all silly premise. There's no reason for you to get worked up here. But I think the fans get the all-star vote right more often than not. Like, if you left it up to 100 people who all passed your I'm a good sports fan test, I bet you most of them would bring an honest effort to get it right than they would their personal agenda to the decision. My faith in humanity.
How many Kansas City Royals were on the starting All-Star team last year?
But they did go on to win a World Series and were there the year before. I really don't have a problem with it. Thank you for the call. I appreciate your time, Mike. Or excuse me, that was Al. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Damon. Love your show. Listen, just about every day, too. I know a lot of people are disagreeing with you that the average fan wouldn't call it straight. So my supporting evidence for why they would is that I think in all sports, the prevailing opinion amongst all sports fans is that they could do the official's job better than the official.
Right. What motivates an individual more? Screwing over your buddy or screwing over a rival, or you being able to stand on the fact that you got it right? I think most people would rather be right.
Yeah, I bet there's a huge chunk of people who, more than their team, they would love to prove an official wrong and that they know better.
Oh, absolutely. We live to say, no, 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 you're wrong, we're right. We live for that. That's what basically Twitter is now. Twitter's a I was right, you were wrong platform like nothing before. This is Tony in Modesto. What's up, Tony?
Yo, what's up, Damon Bruce?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. What I think is that fans don't know the rules good enough. See, a lot of these officials, they get paid, you know, something. I don't know how much they actually make, but they don't know the rules. Like the Calvin Johnson fumble and when the Seattle Seahawks knocked it out the back of the end zone, the officials didn't know the rule.
Right. Well, the officials didn't know the rules. The fans didn't know an awful lot of the rules. But I really believe that, all you got to do is watch the Twitter chatter during an NFL Sunday. There's not a lot of self-doubt among fan bases. Like, geez, I hope I know what I'm talking about. Now, I mean, everyone thinks they know definitively what they're talking about, whether they do or don't.
Yeah, we think we know what we're talking about, but sometimes we don't. So what I think is this, people would come up with an idea, say, oh, yeah, this is what should be done. Yeah, let's screw them. Like, and for instance, in my case there, I would have screwed the Seahawks just because I'm a Niners fan. But that's the way I am.
Sure. Well, then you've been eliminated. You don't pass our background test to be a fan voter.
It ain't the first time I haven't passed the background test.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's my kind of host or my kind of listener anyways. That's great.
Keeping it real.
All right. If you are on hold, do me a favor and be patient with me, because when we come on back, we have a York speaking. It's not the York we wanted to hear from, but we got a York speaking. Let's see what they got for us. Daniel Brown of the Mercury News. Mr. Susan Slesser, by the way. Daniel Brown of the Mercury News had a conversation with the doctor today. We'll let you know how that goes. Probably going to need to pull those down and cough. Talking to the doctor. Oh, boy. Hernia checks next, thanks to the Niners here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, so what we've got, past co-owner Dr. John York talking today down in Redwood City. This is a story from Dan Brown in the Mercury News. Quote, "This was not a good season, but you have my assurance that the ownership of the 49ers is very passionate about this team, and we are here to win. So don't worry, everybody. All your worries, unfounded. Unfounded. The Niners are here to win, according to John York. So rest easy tonight. I mean, sleep well. They're here to win, Gianna. Classy, I'm sure. Pinkies up for everyone." It was a rare public statement from the York family during the team's tumultuous 4-9 start with three games to go. Jed York and 49ers CEO, the son of John and Denise, has refrained from speaking to the media this season. Little cowardly custard, if you don't mind me saying. Can't cut the mustard. "I will say this," says Elder York. "Our family is extremely passionate about the 49ers. All of us are disappointed in the season. It did not go the way we were hoping. You can blame it on whatever, but it doesn't make any difference. We're very proud of the past, but we look to the future. That's where we're going. That's what we're going to need to do." Shut up. Like, with all due respect, just shut up. He shouldn't have even said that. What do you mean? "We're very passionate about the Niners." Poppycock. BS. I can prove to you intrinsically that football's not important to your family. The profit of football is. You know, you had an unbelievably qualified head coach, and because there wasn't enough Midol in the building for Jed, they had to let go of him. That is ridiculous. By the way, John York was an honored guest Wednesday at an NFL alumni Northern California chapter luncheon in Redwood City. That sounds like a good time, doesn't it? Even the chafing dishes were bored at this thing. Speaking at the complex that once served as the Niner headquarters, he reminisced about early San Francisco stars like John Brody and Leo Nomolini and RCO. And so it's just a big walk down memory lane with someone who is completely unconnected to those memories and responsible for none of them. What is the NFL doing honoring John York? What did John York ever do to earn a distinction of honor? He married into a family that had a football team given to them, well, their half of the family, when the half of the family that knew what it was doing was forced out of the NFL. The crowd of roughly 40 people. So it was huge. I mean, like, we had a meeting the other day with roughly 40 people in it. The crowd of roughly 40 people included 49er players such as Tommy Hart, Eason Ransom, Guy McIntyre, Alec Kennedy. Basically, he was surrounded by a group of players old enough to have not made any money, still totally beholden on the Niners for any income, and will just smooch, smooch, smooch all day long. Not old Niner players that are desperate for another paycheck are love the direction New York's got this thing going in. What do you know? We believe, said guys who need money. It's just sad.
It is.
It's really, really sad. Do you guys want to honor John York at an NFL alumni dinner? Why? Did he play? No. Is he alumni? No. Is he an owner? No. Well, he must be legacy. Well, he married into it, actually. All right. Get out the chafing dishes. Here comes Dr. John York's luncheon. Let me go ahead and comment on this audibly. This is actually, I'm ripping up PSL agreements, not the story. Shall we take a call or two? This is Nick in Belmont. What's going on, Nick? How are you?
Hey, Damon. I like the show. It's great.
Thank you.
But your idea about letting fans vote, the only problem is that a lot of the fans voting would be people who are betting on the game or have fantasy teams that are betting on the game.
Oh, you know what? A guy on Twitter just said fantasy ruins everyone. Everyone's going to be voting their own league, not the actual NFL rule book. And you're probably right. When I threw this out as a, I'm not even pretending it's a real topic, people took it way too seriously, and I didn't mean to really. I know I threw it. I instantly regretted it. I have nothing but regrets. Stay with me. Robert in Livermore, what do you got? How are you, Robert?
Doing good, Damon. Appreciate the show. Good show tonight. Couple things. First of all, just to correct you, tuck rule was a correct call, but it was a bad rule. So let's get that straight just so everybody understands that. The refs called it right by the rules.
Yeah,
so,
I still didn't see him tuck that ball away. I still think he wasn't trying to run. He didn't become right. No, the fumble. Go ahead. And well, I'm not a Raider fan. I don't care.
As a Patriots fan, I just voted on my app.
There you go. Thank you very much. Could you just go ahead and put a thick Boston accent on this call for us so we know where it's really coming from?
I've worked to get rid of that accent. You won't hear that again. I wanted to add real quick. I know it's just for fun, but think about if the Cleveland Browns and the Niners were tied for a record going into the last game of the season, and the Niners weren't playing the last game, but Cleveland was, say, playing Pittsburgh. How do you think the Niners fans would vote if Damon got on the radio and said, hey, overturn every call so Cleveland wins that game?
Well, first of all, I don't work Sunday, so that's not happening anymore. But, I hear what you say, and there's no doubt. Bias and influence would be all over it. But I really think that if you put 100 people in a room and said, all right, here's the task before you, 80% of the people in that room would work as hard as possible to get it right, not get it to where they needed it to be, but to get it right. It's kind of like jury. It's like a little bit like jury duty. You go in there to make an honest effort to get it right. Robert, from now on, when you call in, you're no longer Robert from Livermore. You got to call in as Bobby from Livermore. Thank you very much, Robert. Thank you. Yes, Worcester. It's so funny whenever, you know, because the Sharks had a minor league affiliate in Worcester, Massachusetts, but it looks like Worcestershire.
Right.
So you'd have all these people covering the Sharks out here. They'd be like, from Worcestershire, Massachusetts. Worcester. Worcester. You know who's got a little bit of an East Coast accent? Our buddy Brian Geltzeiler. He doesn't join us from Worcester or Amherst, but he is going to join us from somewhere in Jersey. And Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic, joins me at 6:30. We're going to talk NBA with him. We got our buddy John Dickinson going to check in with us before tip-off. When we come on back, we got more Warrior numbers to throw at you. We have the end of an era in a significant coaching career. And one last look back at Week 14 and how it sets up Week 15. Stick around.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.